This is tape two, side one of the interview of Alma Ziggy Ziglar by Kathy Coughlin, April 8, 1995. Ziggy, you were about to tell me about Dottie Hunter and how you two became such close friends.
Well, we became close friends because, I don't know, it just develops, you know. However, I remember she taught one of our gals. Most Canadian gals are real good knitters. And when you're on the road or if you have rain out games, something, one of the gals, Pat Kegel, came up to Dottie and asked her to teach her how to knit. And so I'd watch them, and it was fun to watch them. And finally I said, Dottie, will you teach me how to knit? And she said, well, I'll teach you, Zig, but I'm sure you'll never keep up with it. To this day, I'm still knitting.
And, oh, my.
So I've kept up with it. One winter, good old kind-hearted Dottie knitted every Grand Rapids chick a pair of socks. And that was a big job.
How many pairs of socks would that have been?
She made about 18 pairs.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a great knitter.
Now, Dottie was originally from Canada.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what part of Canada she was from?
Winnipeg.
Okay.
Manitoba.
Okay. Do you have any other memories about her? Did you ever get a chance to go up and visit her family up there?
Yes, I visited her family. One winter I went up there to visit Dottie and her family, and that's a remote area. It's coming from California. It was colder than a well digger's, keister in the Klondike. Anyhow, I enjoyed it. I was just up there a few days,
uh-huh.
And she took me to one of their stores. They're called Teatons, capital T, apostrophe E-A-T-O-N-S, and they have beautiful yarn up there, and I remember I bought scads of yarn, and,
uh-huh.
And but anyhow, we had a good time.
So, what did...
She's living in Grand Rapids.
Oh, okay. Did she ever come down to California to visit you?
She visited me a couple times out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed at our home down in L.A.
Mm-hmm. And this is when you were...
playing ball.
Okay, when you were still playing ball.
Right.
And since then, have you visited back and forth?
Oh, yeah, and I'm going to call her sometime. I call her now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Dottie Hunter, she had back surgery, and I think she had quacks somehow. But anyhow, she can walk with a walker, and she can no longer knit because her fingers, a couple of them, her little finger and her ring finger, are curled up against the palm of her hand, if you can realize that.
You know? Oh, boy.
But she's a good scout about all this, and I think that would have been a great malpractice case. Having been a court reporter, I could see malpractice all over that, but of course there wasn't. But she can walk with her walker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really sad to have that happen.
It certainly is.
Okay, let's, now that we've been talking about friendships, and you, let's move into your leisure time. What did you do during the off season? You went back home, or?
I worked, of course. I worked and socialized, and that was about it, you know.
Okay, what, did you socialize with Bill? Were you still going out with Bill at this time?
Yes. Yes, a few of the years I was, and we'd go out double dating on every Saturday night with another couple.
Oh.
One of them was a softball player, but she never went back to play in our league. But she was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of fun doing things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then we'd play ball.
Oh.
In the summertime, you know.
Just to keep your hand in it.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. When you were, during the season, what did you do between the games?
Well, there wasn't much during the season, you know, there wasn't all that much time to do too much. You were confined to your quarters, so and the ball games took a lot of time, you know.
Right.
And so you'd shop and mm-hmm. Maybe visit people you had become friendly with and various things like that. And we were, as a team as a whole, we were invited to various social activities with some of our members, some of our fans. You know, they belong to country clubs, and they'd invite us out to play golf or swim or something, you know.
Oh.
So we did that as a team as a whole.
Wow. Is this how you got started on golf, or how did that happen?
Well, that's right. Actually, we didn't go to those outings to play golf, because very few of us played golf, but they'd invite us out for swimming, you know, and then a great big luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of those times, it was terrible. In August, it can get a little chilly in Grand Rapids on certain days, and it was raining, and not really rain, but cold and foggy like, and so they'd suggest we play nine holes of golf, and I couldn't wait till the ninth hole was over, because I was so bored. But the next year they invited us out, and it was the same deal, same kind of weather, so we didn't go swimming. We played nine holes of golf, and I didn't like it, but I didn't mind it nearly as much as the year before. But finally some man came to town and talked me into getting some of our gals, and he said he'd give us a good price on sets of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got at least six or seven of us to buy sets of clubs, and so that's how we started, hacking away.
Well, gosh, from going to hating it to becoming an
addict.
Yeah.
Golf addict, that's what I am now.
I know the other times that we've talked, we couldn't do these interviews on Tuesdays and Thursdays because you were playing golf.
Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays are golf days. Yes. Uh-huh.
So do you play 18 holes?
Oh,
play
yeah.
all day?
Over in Morro Bay. I belong to the Morro Bay Women's Golf Club.
Okay.
We have every Thursday is Ladies' Day out on the club, and we have tournaments every Thursday.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you just play in a tournament a couple days ago?
Yes, and we happened to win.
Oh, wonderful. Uh-huh. Congratulations.
I had one of my better days. I had been in a slump, and both my partner, that was a partner's deal, and we both played well. So we won low gross in our...
Great. If we could go back to the Chicks, how did the members of the Chicks get along between each other?
Good. There was very little jealousy that I can recall, and of course, in any organization, you pick out somebody you run around with. You can't go around with everybody, you know.
Right, right. So it's too many people.
Somebody appeals to you, you kind of socialize with them, you know.
Well, who did you socialize with?
Well, I ran around with... like Janie Bittner, she was one of our pitchers. Beansy, another pitcher.
Right.
And our first baseman, Inez Voice, she and I were good friends. We're still good friends. She lives down in Santa Monica here.
Oh.
In fact, I'm going to room with her. That was Inez Voice and Anita Foss when we go down to the reunion in October. We have a room for three of us.
And how is their health today?
Their health is good, especially Inez's. She was our first baseman and a good hitter, and she's a real good golfer too.
I was just going to ask that. Are you ladies going to play some golf while you're down there?
That's one of our outings down there. We're going to play golf, and we may be on the same team.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
During the season, on the weekends, you must have had a Saturday free or an occasional Sunday if you weren't playing a game.
We always, Sundays, many of us would go to church. Beansy would, and Dottie Hunter and I would go to church, and a couple of the other gals would join us, and then the good Catholics would go to Mass.
And what religion are you?
A Protestant.
Okay.
I attend the Presbyterian Church in Morro Bay.
Did you ever go out on dates Saturday night? Well,
I did when we trained in Cuba down there. We trained in Cuba a couple of spring trainings.
Cuba?
Cuba, Havana.
Really?
Oh, yes. We had spring training 2 years in Havana.
Oh, you must tell me about that.
Well, that was very nice. It was it was, the weather was fine and everything, and the Cuban people, boy, would they come to see practice, you know. They'd be scattered through them around, and of course, May Day was bad down there. We had to stay in the hotel those days, but there was one of those Cuban boys, who spoke pretty good English. He talked to me quite a bit the first year, and the next year when I went back, I went out with him once. We corresponded just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't have time to do much dating, you know.
So it playing for the chicks affected your personal life in relation to boyfriends, husband, everything else.
Yeah, sure. It like some of the gals who were married, their husbands would come up and stuff. But and so, some of our gals dated anyhow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I threw myself into baseball, and that was the big thing, you know.
It sounds like once you start something, you're very much into it. That becomes a main focus within your life.
That's kind of true.
What was the most difficult, was there a difficult change within your personal or social life that you had to deal with while playing for the chicks?
I can't think of anything other than a little sadness when one of our girls lost her husband in the service, you know.
Oh, my.
That was bad, you know. But nothing much changed for me, you know.
Now, when you were playing on during the season, when you played at other teams on their fields, what were the fans like? What was the attendance?
Typical
like?
Fans, you know, they're all for the home club.
Yeah.
And if one of our, you know, they were very good, but strictly homers, you know,
mm-hmm.
they want their team to win.
Was that hard for you guys?
No, because you learn that. And
yeah.
It was the same at our place.
Mm-hmm.
Our fans were strictly for us. You know, that's typical baseball, you know.
Okay. How did you travel from city to city?
Well, we traveled very often, mostly by buses. We had chartered buses.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, a few times in Grand Rapids, we flew, like, to the far places, like to Rockford, Illinois and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the latter years of the season, one of our fans owned a Buick agency, and he let us use three of their vans to transport our people. I was one of the drivers of one of them.
How did you like doing that?
Well, it was all right, but I liked the bus best of all because, you know, we were all together then, and we'd be coming back home after a series away, and we'd sing most of the night.
Really? You didn't sleep on the bus?
Well, some of them slept, but most of us would sing.
Oh, how wonderful. Baseball songs, popular songs during the day?
Sure, like Take Me Out to the Ball Game or all those old goodies, you know,
mm-hmm.
popular songs.
Now, there was a song for the All-American Girls Baseball League.
That's right, and that was written by Pepper Pear, who is a very dear friend of mine. I saw Pepper just a couple weeks ago. She lives down in Van Nuys, California, and she wrote the song and the tune, and she's just a very talented person, and she's very busy now in baseball card events that go
mm-hmm.
on. And right now, some of our people are over in Hawaii to a baseball card show.
Really?
Uh-huh. I was up in San Mateo a couple of weeks ago to one.
What are these baseball card shows like?
Well, they're you sell them, you see. And I can't get used to all that because I give mine away here.
Right. I know you were kind enough to send me a few copies.
I don't charge people, but when you're one of those shows, you do. And they people, the fans, the people come in, and we sell a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
They sell for $5 a piece.
That's quite a bit.
I know it.
And then they're signed,
cards,
right?
You know?
Okay, yeah.
But I give them away here all over. whoever wants them, sure, Zig will give you a card.
What were the good things about being on the road?
Well, some of the good things about being on the road were, you know, that's when you pray for rain, you know. We get some gin rummy tournaments together and some of the hotel rooms, you know,
mm-hmm.
and have fun things like that, you know. But then, again, you go out shopping, and then you be back and have a very early meal because you didn't want to play ball on a full stomach.
Right.
So that's why you always have a sandwich or something after a game because you're pretty hungry by then.
Oh, yeah. What were the bad things about being on the road?
My thinking of being on the road were the long road trips home in a bus, like Rockford, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Say we finished a series like last night being Friday night. Well, we'd shower and get dressed, and the whole group would stop at a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
one that we knew about, and we'd all get our sandwiches and stuff, and that takes a good hour, and that you'd get in the bus, and by then it's almost midnight, and you'd have about 200 miles to go, and in a bus you don't travel too fast, so you might get home about 5:30, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, and you'd have to play ball that night. Well, a lot of the gals could go home and sleep, but I'm not a day sleeper.
Oh, boy.
So I can remember, oh, God, you know, that was the only bad thing, as far as I was concerned, were long road trips.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have many of those. South Bend, that was not far,
mm-hmm.
and Kalamazoo and Muskegon, they were close. We'd come home that same night, you know, but you don't do that on a long road trip.
Mm-hmm.
You stay at the hotel.
Right. What was your favorite city to play in, including Milwaukee?
We liked Rockford real well because the hotel has this wonderful food.
Can you remember the name of the hotel that you stayed at?
I should remember it. I had it on the tip of my tongue. In fact, I read about it in the paper not too long ago. You know, I can't think of the name of that hotel, and that's terrible.
But it's not the Clock Tower Inn, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't that. Oh, it'll come to me after we hang up.
Okay. Now, let's move into a little bit about the championship. What do you think about the quality of the season that the Chicks played for that year before the championship?
Well, the quality was just great. There was a good team effort, and that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, it's not you or I, it's the whole club.
Right.
And we just got along real, real well, and we played real well. And
you all pulled together.
Pulled together.
And yeah.
What helps, that helps all through life.
Yes, I agree. What about your personal season for that year?
Well, I think I had a pretty good year that year. I hit pretty well, as I recall, as poor a hitter as I was.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think I was real terrible. I wasn't real terrible. 2 years I led the league on bases and balls. In other words, I got a lot of walks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps. I was a leadoff hitter, and you got to get on base if you're a leadoff hitter.
Right.
That was my way of getting on.
Oh, okay, great. Well, how were the emotions running very high during the championship against the Kenosha Comets?
Oh, always. Any competition like that, they do run high, you know. And you get uptight a lot of times for them, you know, but butterflies in your stomach, you know.
Yeah.
And then the minute you start to play, you're all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you mentioned earlier that it was kind of hard to play the championship games in Kenosha instead of Milwaukee.
Well, it was not hard, but it didn't seem to give us a fair shuffle because we were on the road, and you're not as well accepted
mm-hmm.
on the road as you are in
right.
your hometown.
So you would have to travel down to Kenosha,
right.
play your game, and then go back to Milwaukee.
That's right.
And did you play a game every day or every other
day? During the championship playoff, you play every game. In fact, I thought we stayed at the hotel a couple of those nights.
Oh.
I think we did.
So that made it
a little
more comfortable for you.
That's right.
Okay. Therefore, it would have made a difference for your team had you been able to play in Milwaukee.
I think so. However, we won there in Kenosha at any rate.
Which is remarkable because you were playing against your home field. You weren't allowed to play there. It was kind of against the odds.
That's right. But we had, a good ball club, good teamwork, and we did it.
That's wonderful. Let's move into some of the time about World War II. Was your role as a professional baseball player seen as patriotic?
Well, in a way it was, because, you see, a lot of the people were working hard and everything in defense plants and, you know, for the war effort and stuff, and they had lost their men's organized ball teams, and we provided needed entertainment for the folks at home. And no matter what you have to have a little diversion, you know? And ours was it.
Were there any other things that you and your teammates did to help with the war effort?
Well, off the season, I know I worked doing a little riveting work.
Really?
Yeah, just a little bit. This outfit, I was working for Payne Heating Company, but they were doing a lot of work for the war effort, and I'd go a couple nights a week to do that.
Besides your regular secretarial work?
Right.
Wow. What were you riveting? What kind of things?
Things for parachutes and stuff like that. I hardly remember, but I can remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, gosh. Like, we were so pleased when the war ended. Who wasn't?
Yeah.
That's the way it went.
What did you like or dislike about the riveting work?
Well, that's just plain monotony, you know, doing the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I became a court reporter, because when the baseball season ended with all the action we had, I couldn't think of going through life. I wasn't married. I couldn't think of going through life thanking you for your letter of such and such, your order of such and such, temporarily out of stock, blah, blah. So that's how I became involved in court reporting, and that became most interesting.
How was court reporting more interesting, in what ways?
Well, there's action. In criminal cases, it's very interesting, testimony, and of course we had civil cases, too. But it's not the same thing over and over and over. Every case is different, you know.
Right. Okay. Do you think that the role of women during the war was different than their role before?
Not to any extent. I don't believe so, Ken.
Mm-hmm. What about after the war, the post-war years?
Well, you mean... The role of what?
Of women in work.
Oh, well, I think that's when the American family started to break down, because during the war, the mothers worked, you know, along with, if they had husbands at home, and they indulged their children.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, kids get absolutely everything. I think that was the break of the American family, the start of the breakdown of the American family, which is too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nowadays, there's out of every marriage, 50% of them, I think, end up in divorce, some big percentage, and that's too bad.
Yes, it is, and it is 50%. That's accurate.
It is that percentage, is it?
Mm-hmm. What about, did any of your close friends fight in the war?
I had some that I went to school with that did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Do you know where they were? Were they in the Pacific?
They were in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my cousins was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. He or she?
It was a he. Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Connell.
And would you know where he was?
Where was it when the Japs blew up the...
Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, Pearl Harbor. He was stationed there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow,
I can't remember Pearl Harbor.
did he survive the attack?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He's still alive.
That's wonderful. Was it hard for you to deal with him being gone?
Well, yeah, we were pretty close, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for everybody to have a loved one in the service, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And due to the fact that my brother had the heart murmur, they wouldn't take him in service.
Gosh.
And he was a rugged guy. I mean, that heart murmur never bothered him in his whole life.
That must have been very distressful for him.
Yeah, it was, because he think, God, I'm not a 4F, you know.
Yeah. So, what about, you mentioned earlier that one of the teammates lost her husband during the war. Who was this?
What was her name again? She only played with us a couple years.
Was this, Dorothy McGuire?
Yeah, that's Mac. Yeah, she lost her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But she played with us longer than that. She was quite a gal. And her son today is an associate member of our Players Association. And he's married, and they just had a little baby.
Oh, so he's carried on the family tradition.
Yes, he has.
Now, when Mac thought her husband had died, she was playing for you, right?
Yes.
What was the response of the rest of the team?
What can you say, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Words fail you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she had our total support. She was a rugged gal, and she hung in there.
Oh, boy.
She has since passed away.
Oh. So she continued to play, then?
She had a little time off, just a little mm-hmm. bit. But that was the best thing, to throw herself into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did she have any children at that time?
She had one.
Oh, boy.
And that was tough.
Yeah, it must have been terrible.
Yeah.
Were the manager and the chaperone supportive of her also?
Also, you bet.
That's
great. It's like a family deal. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when certainly we're supportive.
So let's move on to after the Milwaukee Chicks. Now, you moved to the Grand Rapids Chicks, correct?
That's right.
Okay, and did you play with any other teams besides
Never.
Them?
Just Never. The Grand Rapids Chicks.
Okay, and what was your final year with them?
54, the year of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Expanded.
Oh, boy. So you were with them right up to the end.
11 years I played in the league, and the first, of course, being with Milwaukee, and the next 10 with Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
The league was in existence for 12 years.
Okay. Yeah, because you missed 1943, the very first year.
When we didn't know about it.
I understand that you were a player of the year in 1950.
Well, I guess I was. Yeah.
Now, what was, how is that established?
They told me, and I was embarrassed, but it was nice.
I bet.
You know, they just have a night out at the ballpark, and you get presents and stuff, you know, and
in front of the fans, then?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Very embarrassing.
Were the newspapers were there to take pictures and things?
Oh, yes. There were pictures and all that stuff for just.
Oh, even though it was embarrassing, it must have been incredibly exciting.
Well, I think it was quite an honor, you know, but embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. But still embarrassing.
Yeah, right.
Could you explain a little bit about your final year with the league, and
the final year was real tough, in as much as the league, it was a non-profit organization, and each city had their own board of directors, and of course, being a non-profit organization, you give profits away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In Grand Rapids, we built an electric scoreboard for the high school, which was a tremendous gift, and
oh, yeah.
We were real rich, you know, packing them in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And but they just gave away too much.
Mm-hmm.
You always save some for the rainy day, and when the rainy day came, when the dollar got scarcer and stuff, it got tough for them to meet salaries. However, we all received our salaries throughout the whole league, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they just went broke is what happened.
Oh, boy, that's too bad.
Better management. These men probably wouldn't run their own businesses that way. Of course not, because they weren't non-profit organizations.
Right,
but
right.
By the same token, you must save some money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they saved enough.
After the league ended, and you went back to California, did you continue as a secretary, or did you, you were speaking about becoming a court reporter. How did that come about?
Well, yes, I continued doing secretarial work, except having had such an action-filled life for 11 years, it was hard for me to think of returning to monotony. So
mm-hmm.
I heard about court reporting, and I checked into it and went into it, and I kept my job working all day, and I go to night school, and you make a little slower progress in because,
mm-hmm.
But at any rate, I became a court reporter. I passed the state exam, and then I was happy. And
how long did it take for you to, going to night school?
It took me about at least 2.5 years. Because, you know, you maintain an apartment,
mm-hmm.
and you socialize, and you work all day,
mm-hmm.
and go to school at night, and you probably had experience like that,
mm-hmm.
and progress isn't as slow as if you were rich enough to go to school all day. You wouldn't have
right.
to go, you know. So that's the way it was, but it was worth it.
Now, did you set out right from the start to become a court reporter? Or?
Well, either that or a deposition reporter, where you go to attorney's offices and take depositions
mm-hmm.
of their opponents, your clients, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's deposition reporting sounds similar to secretarial work, almost.
It was, except it's more interesting because mm-hmm. the different events occur, you know.
Okay.
So,
what motivated you towards, instead of being a deposition reporter, a court reporter?
Primarily, your future, which is in deposition work, you have retirement building up,
mm-hmm.
and
you don't.
You don't know. You have to have your own if you want one, and most people do. But in court reporting, you have retirement building up, and that's what I'm living on now.
Mm-hmm. Then you worked for the county or the state?
No.
Okay. And, it must have been a fairly good program then.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the court reporting is down in a large city. It's most lucrative. But when I moved up to where I am now,
mm-hmm.
I moved up here because I wanted to be able to breathe fresh air. And in L.A., you know, they had a lot of smog.
Yeah.
I want to be able to play golf, which I can do up here.
Oh.
And I knew that I could become a court reporter up here. But in a small town, salaries are never commensurate with large cities.
Right, right.
But money has never been my god, so I was happy to be here.
Good. Now, you mentioned earlier about wearing spiked heels as you walk down the marble floors as a court reporter.
You know, you dressed, and I wore high heels all time I was a court reporter in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and up here I still wore heels, but not spikes. It's more casual in a smaller area.
Yeah. So, what about, I wanted to ask you one little question about the movie, A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
Well, I thought they did a pretty good job with their starlets on it, and I thought it was most of it was very true to our style, except some of it wasn't. It, you know, it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
You saw it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And the only thing that was gross, as far as I was concerned, was when Tom Hanks came into the clubhouse and, you know,
mm-hmm.
urinated in the gals. They never did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our managers didn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
But by and large, it was a good takeoff on our league, and they did a good job teaching the Scarlets. And we had a Pepper Pear was our consultant, player consultant on that movie,
mm-hmm.
and she did a good job with them on it. You know, and it was people sure enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I thought it was a great movie. And there was quite a lot of feedback about the movie, where people start thinking about the Milwaukee Chicks here. Did you find renewed interest about the team when this came out?
The movie has brought a lot about here. You know, there's a lot of interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
People say, oh, and you have a baseball card? You know, all this and that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, it sure did. The movie brought a lot of renewed interest. They didn't even know about the league until the movie came out.
Yeah. So it was a very positive experience in many ways.
I beg your pardon?
So the movie brought about a very positive experience.
Yes, it certainly did. Yeah.
Now, when you moved back to California after the league ended, you'd already been playing golf for quite a while.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So when you moved back, did you continue to play golf, or did you continue to play baseball?
We continued to play golf.
Okay.
I did a little umpiring for softball, but that was about it.
Okay.
But I didn't really play. Our action then was we played golf mostly.
Mm-hmm. Did you umpire for more than a couple of seasons, or?
No. Just a couple of seasons, just no more than a couple of seasons.
Okay. Why did you get out of baseball, do you feel like? Were you kind of getting tired of it?
Well, not really, but, you know, you get involved in other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
So between, golf became my sport. That's all I can say, you know.
Right. Now, your present life, you live...
I maintain a home
here
in Los Osos, which is a nice area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're right on the ocean almost, you know.
Wow.
We're 5 miles from Morro Bay,
mm-hmm.
Which is where I play my golf. And beautiful Pacific Ocean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here in this area... It never gets too hot in the summer, nor too cold in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice area.
It sounds great. You mentioned earlier when we were speaking, you let your cats in. You have cats? How many?
I have Miss Emily and Mr. Andy. And I have an outdoor apartment. They go through a little door from my bedroom into this outdoor apartment, which is carpeted,
mm-hmm.
and they have their sandbox out there,
and
a little couple little posts, and right now they're reclining on the carpet, and I peeked out the window.
In the sun.
Nice little cats. I got them from an outfit called AFAR, Action for Animals Rights. And before you get their cats, they come out to look at your house. They check you out.
Wow.
And when they came in and saw what I had and everything, these are the first two cats I've ever had that I've had my choice.
Mm-hmm.
Others have come to me, you know. But they're nice little, I call them nice little lumps.
What kind of cats are they?
Plain cats.
Just plain
cats. She's a calico, and he's an orange and white. They're nice, just nice. They're from the same litter.
Oh, great.
And I had to pay $100 for the two of them, but they were both neutered and spayed. He was neutered, she was
mm-hmm.
spayed. And if you're going to have pets, that's the way to go, you know.
Yeah.
And then they had their shots. So
mm-hmm.
they were well worth it.
Great. Well, cats are, I think they're wonderful companions.
They are. They're kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
She gets into everything.
Now, in closing, I'd like to ask you, what do you feel out of everything that we've spoken of today or things that we haven't spoken about, what do you feel are your most important memories of your time with the Milwaukee Chicks and the All-American Girls
Well,
baseball
that was
league?
Our introduction to the league, and that was very important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We in softball, you play before a crowd of people, and,
mm-hmm.
and the introduction to our league left a little bit to be desired because we didn't draw too well in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
as we have spoken about, you know.
Right.
But the fans were loyal, the fans we had, and it was an experience. I think Milwaukee is a great city, and have some excellent restaurants, Nader's, of which
mm-hmm.
I thoroughly enjoyed. I don't know if it's that great now, but it sure was then.
Yes, it's still in the top 10.
Good.
Yeah,
well,
it's
sure
considered
like
a significant restaurant within Wisconsin.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And, the memories aren't as great because we were only there one season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I learned what a league was like to play in.
Right.
From Milwaukee, and so we grew from there. As we
mm-hmm. Do you believe that your role with the Chicks was significant, and why?
Well, I don't know if mine was any more significant than anyone else's, except I sure learned the value of teamwork, and I happen to be captain of the club, and, and if there were any problems, so very often, you know, I try to iron them out before
mm-hmm.
they got to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But life is a job, and teamwork is an effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's a necessity in life. No matter who you're with.
Right. Do you feel that being a member of the Chicks and the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League changed your life in any way?
Well, I don't think it changed my life. It enhanced it.
Nice.
But it hasn't changed my style, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to say that, have a style, I guess everybody does.
Yeah. How do you perceive the significance of the All-American Girls Baseball League in the history of the United States?
Women in sports. Mm-hmm. I interrupted you, and I apologize.
No, that's fine.
I think there's a definite place in sports for women, and we opened the gate for that, and I hope there will be another league. I know there's a team of women are playing baseball now,
uh-huh.
and if they can get enough together to form a league, it's going to be great. But right now they're having to play against men, and that I don't enjoy. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't feel that they're on equal footing?
No, I don't think women should ever compete with men. They're stronger. It's different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we opened the door to women in sports, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
College, they have great sports for gals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that was very significant. Why do you believe it's important to share your personal experiences about the league?
Well, because you called me.
Touche.
No, we've done this. I've done it before, you know.
Uh-huh.
I've talked to classes, a few classes at Cal Poly.
Oh.
And that's embarrassing, too. But anyhow, now the question was the significance of...
Why do you believe it's important to share your personal experiences?
So those people who don't know what women can do...
Become aware of it.
They don't know about
it.
They're aware of it now.
Mm-hmm.
And,
have you shared this with your family?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
family and friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me a little bit about the paper that your great niece wrote in for school?
She's, I'm walking right over to another room, but I'm talking. That's Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Jill, and she's a real sweet gal. I'm going to her graduation soon, and she's a smart gal. And she had to write a paper. It wasn't a thesis. I don't know what you call it, but anyhow, she got a lot of information from me, and she said she'd send me a copy of the finished product. And the title of this is Beauty and the Baseball Diamond, or Pass Me the Lipstick, Coach, on Deck. And it's well written.
Could you say, or what was the second title?
The first one was Beauty and the Baseball Diamond,
mm-hmm.
or Pass Me the Lipstick, Coach, I'm on Deck. In other words, she's ready to hit, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's the title. That's what that means. So, in other words, we had to look like ladies and act like men, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Play ball, so, passing the lipstick on. Ready. And it was quite a deal. It's about 12 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about our lead and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she got an excellent grade on it. So.
I'm not surprised.
She did a good job.
And you mentioned that she mailed this paper to Jim Nitz here in Milwaukee.
She sent me this, and I made a copy from mine and sent it to Jim Nitz, and he was really impressed with it.
Great. Okay. Well, I'll have to contact him and see if I can get a copy of that.
I'll send you a copy if you want.
Oh, that would be wonderful, Zig. Thank you.
I don't think I have your address.
Okay, well,
country, the cows are very thin, you know, and they don't have much grazing land. It's so sad, you know.
In Cuba?
But, and that they feed us steaks, and somebody said they're alligator steaks.
Really?
No, they weren't. but it was an experience, you know, and, to be down there, and that was well worth it.
What was the weather like while you were down there?
Beautiful.
Yeah?
You see, it's real nice down there along about in April.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. And, but it was different. And we were glad. And then on the way home from Cuba, you play exhibition ball games in some of the southern states.
Oh, okay. When you went down there, did you fly or take a ship?
We flew down.
Okay. Could you give me a year when you went down there?
I was trying to think back. I think it was 46 or 47 or 47,
mm-hmm.
48, right in there.
Mm-hmm. And at this time, America and Cuba were friends, and Americans were very popular down there as tourists.
Yes.
Is that correct? Did they have casinos that you could go to or anything like that? Were you girls able to do that?
We didn't do that, but they did have them. And also, they make beautiful alligator handbags and shopping, buy leather goods and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was different. But we didn't like the food so much.
Oh.
And then, needless to say, I liked it less.
Now, what about language barriers?
Well, it was difficult. We didn't have much contact, you know, personal contact with them, except this one fellow, nice fellow, and he spoke broken English, but I could sure understand him. but we didn't have much contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it was all work. Spring training, practice, work, and, and sleep. That was
So how, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
We did have spare time.
Mm-hmm. How long were you down there?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Nigh on to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about 10 days.
Wow. So it almost could have been a vacation had you not been working so hard all the time.
That's right. A vacation.
Well, I want to thank you once again for your willingness to do this and the time that you've given us.
My pleasure, and And I wish you all the luck in the world on your grade effort. Is that what you're going to get in this?
Yeah, we get graded on this.
I want to know all about that.
Well, I'll be sure and write you and let you know.